Welcome to Directions on the News for Tuesday, August the 14th, 2007. This is Joe Francica of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my colleague, Adina Schitzberg, our executive editor. In today's podcast, we'll look at the geospatial technology associated with going beyond local search and more into the shopping experience. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Image Server, you can maximize the value of your imagery by processing and distributing it on the fly, enterprise-wide. Learn more about ArcGIS Image Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
We're going to talk about shopping, taking local search beyond what it is today. We're very familiar with some of the tools of local search, how to find the nearest Starbucks, how to find the nearest Home Depot. But we're going to look at some additional elements we found this week.
There's really three technology ideas that sort of came out in press releases this week. And I think the easiest way to look at these is to take them one at a time. And the first was an announcement from a website called Shop Local, which now has a deal with the folks at Ulocate, who have a platform called Where that allows you to take a web-based solution and put it on a mobile phone. So what they've done is they've taken basically the Shop Local tools and made them available for a fee on your mobile phone. And the idea being, if your mobile phone knows where it is, then you can take advantage of Shop Local. Well, I've got to be honest. Even though Shop Local is supposed to be very well respected and very well known in the search arena, I had never heard of it. So I went to the site to try to figure out what it was, and the first thing that it told me was where it thought I was. And it didn't do a particularly great job of that compared to other sites that I've used that tell me where I am. It said I was in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which is some 40 or 50 miles from where I really am. So that was sort of disappointing. On the other hand, I could click on where it thought I was and tell it where I was so that now the information I got would be more focused on my true location. And the site has a really interesting twist. The idea is that it's going to give you comparisons of locally available goods and services, mostly goods in this case, and those on the web. So on the site, you have the opportunity to see deals from your local retailers. So there's an option to click for that, and it's clearly across all different kinds of products. And I was told about the Jabsco Par Max 3 shower drain pump, and that was a local deal. Well, it happens to be from a store that is 20 miles from here, and it's a very specialized thing that apparently you use to drain your shower on your boat. So that struck me as just a bizarre sort of products that one might have.
You know, it sounds like they're trying to shortchange the technology a little bit here. They're trying to enhance that experience of you buying something immediately and you feel comfortable if you know that it's nearby. So the idea is, though, you know, and it didn't do a very good job for me either, because when I tried it, it was some small town about 10 miles from me. It wasn't even the largest city I was in. So that was disappointing. But it does seem like they're trying to short-circuit that link between, hey, I know it's local, I can buy it online, or I can go to the store. I kind of agree with you. I don't know if that's going to work. And if you look back at, again, how we've progressed on our online shopping experience, if you go back to the Amazon early days, I thought it was really cool early on when after you bought a product, you came back and it suggested where, you know, other products that you might want. And I really thought that it was doing a true demographic analysis. It knew my location or what type of demographic profile I fit into. And I see that this is not doing what I think it should do. You know, the Shop Local just didn't do that for me in that type.
No,
of
the other challenge I had with it was, I guess I had a sense that I was going to be discovering local places that I wasn't aware of that might offer different products. But when I looked at the stores that it supported, they're all chain stores, Target and Office Depot and Radio Shack and Best Buy, which are pretty much everywhere. And one of the key, what seems to be happening is perhaps all they're doing is pulling the sales out of the ads, because one of the things you can do on this site is go find this week's ad for Radio Shack or Best Buy or whatever. Isn't a great step forward somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, frankly, that I would use this site on the desktop, And I'm even less sure I would use it on my phone.
The whole thing about geotargeted advertising or mobile local search on particular products, it's certainly the big hype that's coming. I'm not sure there's the catalyst yet to use this service. Whether it's GPS on the phone or whatever, I'm not seeing that catalyst.
Right. There's nothing particularly compelling in this particular implementation. And we should note that ShopLocal is owned by Gannett, the Tribune Company, and the McClatchy Company, which are all basically newspapers, right? So they're looking at it in terms of getting more advertising going on this site and their other properties, I'm sure.
Well, and take that to a logical extreme. They want to be able to tie back what you see on your phone or what you see in the newspaper, and did you actually convert, you know, was a sale converted in that experience? And that was one of the things I think ShopLocal was hoping to do, was catalog exactly, was there a mechanism by which you fed back to the advertiser that there was action taken by the shopper to go into the store. And that depends on some element of geofencing.
Right, so, and it's not clear to me at all that that's going on here with GeoLocal, but it does take us to our next finding that we found this week, which was basically a patent to do a lot of what you just said. That is, if you're prompted on your phone by an ad, or maybe by an ad, electronic ad on a billboard, does that ad send you into the target destination? So, in fact, a patent was granted to a Seattle wireless startup. It's called Pelago, and it was actually started by a former Amazon senior vice president. His name is Jeff Holden. Let me just quickly read the patent abstract, because I think this is really pretty clear as patent abstracts go. A method and system for providing a pay-per-visit billing model for advertisements is provided. The advertisement system provides advertisements that have associated physical visit locations. The advertisement system provides advertisements to a mobile device or fixed of a user when the user is in the vicinity of or examining locations in the vicinity of the visit location. If the user subsequently visits the visit location of the advertisement by physically going to the location, the advertisement system then bills the advertiser for the advertisement. The advertisement system bills the advertiser under the assumption that but for the advertisement, the user would not have visited the visit location. So one way to think of this is it's sort of the physical implementation of pay-per-click. Right, because pay-per-click advertising, you put the ad up there, and you only pay for it as the advertiser if somebody clicks on it. You only pay if the ad causes the person to go into the store.
And, Chris, in that patent, the big assumption is that but for that advertisement, the user would have not visited that location. And that may be a sticking point with the person who's going to buy the service, but be that as it may, you have to make that assumption.
Right.
Now, I wanted to bring up the point that all of this geotargeted advertising, geofencing technology had been kind of unveiled several years ago with a company called GEEPS. And the assumption there was that you would purchase this technology, but in the context of a frequent buyer, that you opted into a service that as you were in the proximity of the store, an ad would pop up on your phone, and you would understand that, hey, there are polo shirts on sale for $14.99 at wherever. It never made it. I think the company folded, and we never heard from them again. So it's interesting that this all of a sudden pops up, and now we're, you know, maybe we're a little bit more ready to get this service.
Maybe we are. And the other difference, I think, here from, I think we all have this, the standard story of location-based advertising is you're walking down the street and you walk past Starbucks and your phone rings and it's a coupon to go into Starbucks. Well, the great thing about that coupon is as soon as you use the coupon, they know that it was effective. And that's how paper coupons work, right? I mean, they know exactly what newspaper you clip the 50 cents off cereal from. So they know. The problem with some of the other location-based advertising that doesn't deliver a coupon or a code or something like that is it's unclear whether it works or not. And this is one way to confirm that. Now, is it worth it to go with, say, a billboard in proximity to the store with the polo shirts on sale that says, hey, come visit us at Eddie Bauer. We have polo shirts on sale. and then to try to use that and then use this, you know, license this patent to be able to find out whether or not it worked, versus send you a coupon with a code where you already know whether or not it works.
It all comes back to a lot of these merchandisers and a lot of the retailers want a personal relationship with their customers. This is the old concept of one-to-one marketing. And why they're all drooling at this application is they've never before had it this close in terms of one-to-one and this close in terms of proximity. So they're jumping on this, thinking that, oh, my God, I have got this relationship I've always, you know, clamored for.
Well, I guess we'll see. And we'll see how this patent is implemented and licensed or not. Now, the final new service that we ran into this week is actually a spin-off or an extra web page on a social shopping service called This Next. And This Next is sort of a website where you can list all the things that you might want and then, quote, send it to people who buy you stuff, unquote. You can review the items. One of their taglines is real recommendations from real people. Again, this is a site I had never heard of. Social shopping is just not something I've ever spent much time with. Now, what they've done is they've added a mapping feature, and they basically put a Google map up there so that you can see what people are looking at based on their location. So when you watch this map, little things pop up that say, this person in Seattle is looking at this alligator skin purse, and this person in the Ukraine is looking at this silk scarf. Now, the Wired blog think this is just what marketers really want. They refer to it as a retailer's best friend and pure addictive media for extremely active online shoppers. That's true. It's really fun to watch. Now, from a practical standpoint, is this information useful? I mean, to you as a person potentially shopping, and perhaps more importantly, to the folks who are trying to market whatever the product is.
I found it an extreme case of voyeurism. You know, it's one of these things where, yes, it was fun to watch. How would I capture this information? Is it being captured? But all it is you're just watching people, you know, you're like surfing the web with them.
Well, and I suppose that's part of what social shopping is. It's going shopping with somebody else.
I'm not in the demographic that finds it interesting, but I thought it was a total waste.
Well, and the other aspect of this, since This Next is, so far as I could tell, about products you can buy or learn more about on the web, where the people are is even less has even less interest to me, because we all have access to the same set of tools. And it's an individual point. It's, you know, one person in the Ukraine is looking at this scarf and one person is looking at this purse. That aggregate information would be far more interesting. So I was trying to think this through, if we could gather, and this goes back to Amazon. They probably know which part of the country buys which set of books, records, whatever, more than others.
Exactly. And to my point earlier, if you could tag this to the demographic and aggregate that information to something where it really makes sense, can you say that I have looked at the polo shirt 10 times or 10 people have looked at the same polo shirt 10 times in this demographic? It would be a great tool for marketers if, as you said, aggregate the information. But more than that, be a great tool for the merchandisers who've got to stock the stores. Unless you're really going to get serious about this and try to aggregate the information and then tie it back demographically, it's just a fun site to watch.
Right, and that's from the merchandiser standpoint. Let's look at this from the shopper's standpoint. So I was trying to think this through in terms of what I would want as a shopper. So let's say I was trying to buy a bicycle. I would be, if I was living in Seattle, I'd be far more interested in which bikes people bought in Seattle versus in Omaha. Why? The geography is different. The climate's different, right? You would expect there to be a difference, and the people in Seattle would hopefully be buying sort of Seattle-friendly sort of bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be very valuable to me to get information like that. It might send me towards certain kinds of products versus others.
Well, likewise, if I'm in the middle of a snowstorm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and there are people buying the Sears version of the snow shovel, and they bought it because it's seal reinforced. You know, that's what I want to know. I mean, I want to know specifics, and you just said it, because of climate, because of terrain, because of whatever. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the 2007 Public Health Information Network Conference will be held in Atlanta, Georgia, from August 27th to the 29th. Visit ESRI's booths number 21 and 22 to learn about ESRI's solutions for public health. You can find out more information about this at www.esri.com/directionsmag. I also want to remind our listeners that the early registration for the Rocket City Geospatial Conference will end today, August 14th, if you're listening today. Regular registration starts as well, and you can go to the website at www.rocketcitygeospatial.com. If you like what you've heard today on our podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, and be sure to tell a friend.